Not much room to celebrate when you're hacking up lungs and having to do everything.
I was having fun on the bus, and I was just trying to sleep the whole time.
You didn't do the karaoke stuff?
No.
I heard that Coach Davis was singing Friends in Low Places, and like everybody was trying to have a fun time. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, they were trying to get me. It's like rookie karaoke, and I was like, I was the only coach that was here last year. I'm not saying. I've been saying since my freshman year.
I dare not even try that with how damaged these cords are right now, but hopefully I'll be fine for this weekend. Yeah. But once again from Reese Pfeiffer Hall in Tuscaloosa, it's another exciting edition of the Alabama Frozen Hour. A lot of us out of commission because we are sick, as you can tell, still strained by my vocal cords. We've got two great guests to help us preview the Division III College Hockey South playoffs, specifically the Alabama men's team and their path to try and win the Picked Sweet Cup down in Coral Springs, Florida. We'll also talk with Nick Reniger on his respective journey on both the women's coaching side as well as with the AAU Division I men's team, and an odd topic that should be very interesting from what we've seen in the hockey world. Welcome to everyone watching or listening around the world. I'm Spencer Thompson, joined alongside Emma Curl as well as Nick Reniger. Proud to be with you in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. Will Morrow was supposed to be here today. His vocal cords, surprisingly, are more shot than mine. We were talking about this leading up to the recording in that it seems like the plague has kind of gone through the entirety of the hockey scene in Alabama. I know it seems weird mentioning that since we had a pandemic in the last 5 years, but I know you and the rest of the coaching staff for the women's team have all been fighting off the sickness, which I guess it's good that you're getting it out of the way now before heading to Jacksonville.
Yeah, we don't know what to call it, but it seems that everybody that went to Athens came back and couldn't get out of bed for like 3 days. True. So it was not ideal at all.
Yeah, I was coughing leading into that tournament, and somehow, some way, I got through it. Multiple cups of throat coat and a whole bunch of these Halls Minis packs trying to survive at least to get through. But as we had her on the remote show in Jalapenos, a privilege to welcome Emma Curl officially to the regular episodes of the podcast. Emma, good to see you again.
I'm excited to be here.
Absolutely. And we get to talk about a lot of the Division III playoffs run. Couldn't think of anyone better to talk about it than one who's been reporting from the ringside the entirety of the season. But first things first, we welcome the captain for the Division I AAU team, Nick Reniger. And we appreciate you carving out the time. I know we were trying to get you on the remote show, but ended up you had a rec league basketball game, the teams. Yeah,
Monday nights intramural basketball with our Innisfree team. So that's a lot of fun. I couldn't miss it. Yeah.
Wait, an Innisfree team?
Yeah, but like most of just a bunch of Innis workers formed a rec basketball team, and I'm a part of the crew.
I tell you, it's a lot of fun when you get to be essentially a multi-sport athlete, not just in the high school scene, but beyond through the collegiate world. Now, what's your shooting percentage?
Do you know? I am a terrible basketball player. It's the one sport I cannot play. Yeah, I'm not kidding.
And quite literally, recreational fun for Nick here. So, as you know, we like to ask our guests on the podcast, we start off to talk about how you could talk to probably 100 different hockey players about their journey and how they've gotten to where they are today, and you would get 100 different answers. So for Nick Reniger, what has the journey been like from the moment you knew you wanted to be involved in hockey to now being very much involved in hockey in the city where legends are made?
Yeah, I guess I got to give credit to my older brother who also played here. He was on the ACHA team here, and I was a freshman when he was a junior, so we played together for 2 years, and then that was kind of just the start of the journey with Alabama hockey.
Now, specifically, so your brother played there. So did you know completely that Alabama was where you were going to go? Was there ever any decision-making on other universities?
No, when I came and visited, I went out with them. And I was like, I'm not going. I'm 17 years old. I was like, I'm not going anywhere else.
Had to get Rounders.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Either Rounders, Gillette's, Bear Trap, any of the places on the strip. It's usually once you get through there, you get hooked. Well, especially, I'm sure, because you grew up in the New York City area, and it, very different in Tuscaloosa. Mm-hmm. Is there anything you miss about New York whenever you're here in T-Town?
Just the South is so different than anywhere up north. So, no. I mean, I love it here. I'm trying to make the most of it here in my senior year. So, I'm just grateful. I'm staying present, and I got a couple months left here.
Now, have you ever gotten used to the humidity of the summer here in Bama?
No.
It gets hot.
Yeah, when I come back in August, you're leaking through your shirt, 3 showers a day.
Well, especially in your case, because as we also like to do a deep dive on people's LinkedIns, you very much enjoy the summer weather. I mean, you've worked on several marinas as well as golf clubs in the summer and everything, so the humidity is definitely different on that. But I wanted to dig into those kind of odd jobs you've had, because you even mentioned you guys have the basketball rec league with Ennis, so you're very much in the service industry. But that time working at the marina looked like about 3.5 years that you were working there. Interested to know about your experience with that.
Yeah, so I worked at a marina in Maryland I was like probably 15 years old when I started there, and I put gas in boats. So boats would pull up to the dock and we would fill them up. It was awesome. Great experience. I loved it.
Was there one moment, like a particular boat that you ever filled up with gas that you said, this is the nicest boat I've ever seen?
Oh yeah, there were so many yachts that came through. Yeah, in the Annapolis area, there were some beautiful boats.
Now, I've driven through Maryland a couple of times. Before I lived in Tennessee, my family and I, we lived in Alexandria, Virginia, just about 20 minutes outside of D.C., and we've gone up to Cape Cod a couple of times, which is also a nice area. You ever been to the Cape Cod or Provincetown in that area?
I haven't. I'm not.
No, man. Then it's it is lovely when you go up to Provincetown, right on the end of the hook of Massachusetts.
Yeah.
Just lovely out there, and there's just something different about that Atlantic Ocean too. Yeah. And I'm sure you know, because you've probably been on a couple spring break trips on Florida and everything. Yeah. But I don't know if it's just it's more blue or more clear up in those areas, but there's just something about that ocean.
I just say East Coast, best coast. I'm an East Coast kid, so.
Yeah, and it's continuing on that as well. Your time working for a couple of months at a golf club, so it looks like you're working grounds crew and pretty much anything else you have. For people who don't know, if you're working on the grounds crew, whether it's Augusta or any of these golf courses, you got to wake up on the early rising of the day. And I know I asked about was there a nicest boat in that. Were there any sort of celebrities or people that you looked at are like, wow, these people are well off?
Yeah, Spring Lake Golf Club in New Jersey. It's a super nice golf club. There were some retired MLB players, I would say. Those were the biggest names I would meet. But yeah, that was a great experience. Waking up at 4 a.m. for an entire summer, you learn a lot about yourself, discipline, and whatnot.
Yeah, that's great.
Are you a morning person from that?
I am absolutely a morning person.
Okay, good.
I don't wake up at 4 a.m. anymore.
I am a night owl through and through. Morning person over here? Night owl?
I try to say I'm a morning person, but when that 8 a.m. alarm goes off, I'm like, I'm not that much of a morning person. Yeah. And then I'll scroll on TikTok till like 1 a.m. Yep. So I would say I'm a night person probably.
Yeah, some of us try to say we're morning people when we have those 8 a.m. classes in undergrad.
That
those
8
are just,
class, I can never
make. Yeah, no, I never enjoyed those either. Couple of Red Bulls and the Starbucks espresso shots kind of
got me through it.
Alani. I've never had Alani. What are those?
It's basically, have you had a Celsius?
Once, yeah.
Okay, so it's basically like that. I like them better than Red Bull. They're a little bit better for you than Red Bull. And they have more flavors. If you try Alani, get the peach one. It's the best one.
Yeah. Fun story, a little bit tidbit here. So Savannah Prefontaine is on the other side of the camera here. She smirks that I'm embarrassing her. So we were going on the bus trip out to South Carolina with the women's team, which I know you couldn't go with us because you were out in Knoxville getting it done on the ice. And we had this kind of story going on of that she Savannah always had a Celsius on her in some capacity. And I was like, what are these? She's basically like, it's an energy drink or something. And I'm like, okay, I got to try this maybe on the road trip out. And we stopped at Bucky's within an hour of driving out to South Carolina. We left at 6 in the morning. And there was a purposeful stop at Bucky's integrated on the way,
at
the way out there. And I just went in. I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm going to make Savannah proud. I'm going to have a Celsius. It was good.
Yeah,
it's good flavor. That was the lemon lime one, I think, right? It was something like that. But that was good. The good news is I know my kidneys work because within an hour I need to use the bathroom at the back of the bus.
Yeah,
but
energy drinks always make me feel like go to the bathroom, right? But no, Alani, I like them better than Red Bull.
Mm. I don't try to stay off the energy drinks because especially they're kind of bad for you on that. But we'll talk about some of your pregame rituals later on in the podcast. But it's very rare that I go down the energy drinks. I fortunately don't have a coffee dependency either, unlike a lot of people within the hockey scene around here. But it's Red Bull is where I usually go to. I don't think I've ever had a Rockstar or a Monster Energy drink, or I've had Bang a couple of times when I was popular.
Competitive dance, I was on lived on Red Bull, but now I'm like, okay, maybe I should not live on that and actually try. So I try to only have an Alani like every few days.
Sounds like I need to do a deep dive on your LinkedIn because I did not know you were on the competitive dance side.
Yes, I did competitive dance since I was I started competitive dance when I was like 5. I started dancing when I was 2. I was captain of my dance team.
Oh, let's go. We have 2 captains that are joining us on the podcast right now.
Yeah, so I loved it. Yeah. I hopefully one day will join an NFL dance team. That's the goal. But we'll see.
Awesome. Is there a specific team that would be the dream?
This is actually funny. We were talking about Maryland. My dad's from Baltimore. Okay. Big Baltimore Ravens girl right here. I'm like a very advocate for Lamar Jackson, you know, Derrick Henry. So probably there. Baltimore Ravens. Even though it's freezing and I'm not used to that because I'm from Alabama, but we'll see how it goes.
Now, I just heard Nick saying, let's go. So I assume Ravens fan over here.
Ravens. Okay. Hopefully we can get over the hump at some point. Yeah. I don't know if it's ever going to happen.
It's funny. When I was driving back from the men's championship for D1CHS, I was with Theodore Fernandez, who is also a New York guy. He grew up in Brooklyn or Queens. Yeah. And he was very frustrated because he wanted the Eagles to lose because he's a New York Giants and he wanted Saquon Barkley to kind of get his comeuppance for trading over. And he told me afterwards that he felt there was no compelling reason to watch the NFL this season. But I reassured him. I was like, hey, it was nice seeing Derrick Henry actually be on a successful team. Like, he did really well.
He held it down for the Ravens. I will say that. He was amazing. Him and Lamar together.
Oh, yeah.
They were unstoppable. I don't know what happened. It's always like that in the playoffs. They always kind of choke. But hopefully next year, we got it in the back.
I'm sure as a Ravens fan, that was
Lamar
fun for
you. Lamar just finds a way to disappear in the playoffs.
Yeah, always. I'm shocked we even made it past Steelers because I feel like when we play them, anytime he chokes also. So. Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned, Nick, that you already knew you were going to go to the either ACHA or the AAU team through your brother's path and everything. How did the coaching gig come up for the women's team?
I remember Savannah's here. She just texted me, I don't even know, it was first semester last year, and she's like, we're going to start a women's team. Like, do you want to help out? And I was like, hell yeah, like, let's do it. And then it ended up last year it was 4 student coaches, and – it just worked out. We always had great mojo. I mean, we won our first game 20-0 against Auburn. And I went into my AAU locker room, grabbed practice jerseys, and we taped numbers on the back.
Oh, goodness. Man, I wish I would have been at that practice one if I had heard about this thing. I can already picture it now, how that text exchange went with Savannah going, hi. And then Nick, hi. We want to start a women's team.
I probably still have it. I wish I could find it somewhere.
it's great. That ends up being most of the way that the majority of us ended up getting through with getting through the women's team. So let's pivot from there. We'll talk certainly about how the women's team has had such an incredible run this season. But for the AAU D1 men's team, you guys got into the playoffs, a final seed clinched on there because of Auburn only having the one win and multiple losses. And we also kind of talked about it, Preston and I did, when we were previewing the playoffs and how you guys could have been the dark horse. But dark horses normally don't have as much struggles as you guys had getting to Athens. So from the captain's perspective, what happened with the bus situation getting out to Georgia?
It's just been a bumpy season. we made a coaching change. It feels like things haven't been going our way. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to play one of the best teams in the country in Tampa, who on paper, we don't even belong on the ice with them, top to bottom. They just outskill us in every aspect. And it's supposed to be a 4-hour bus ride, and we break down about 2 hours in.
Oh, goodness.
And we had to wait for a new bus to come. A new bus comes. Puck drop's supposed to be 5:30. We didn't even get there to 6:30.
Yep.
So they pushed the game back to 6:45, and we just go straight into it, like 5-minute warm-ups. And actually, first shift of the game, I'm on the ice, Their captain, Danny Griffin, number 44, makes a nasty play, slips it under my stick, goes short side high, 1-0, 10 seconds into the game.
Yeah.
It's like, that was the worst play we could
have played. Oh, yeah. Yeah, and that has to shake up because not just hockey players, but on the sports side, there's a lot of superstition that comes, especially in those sort of sports. So that really had to shake up the locker room and thinking, we just have to get in, go, and get right to the ice.
There's zero warm-up. We play Team Sewer before we kick the soccer ball around. There's zero warm-up. We literally got to the rink, got dressed, got out on the ice.
Man,
it was not ideal at all.
But the bounce back, at least, was the next day you guys had that fifth place game where you had an even better performance. I would say the rest really benefited you guys from there.
Yeah, 100%. We played carefree hockey. It was a consolation game, and we went out there. We had 7 goals, and things were going our way.
Now we talked with Kira Duffany, was on the show last week with the CHS Trophy, and we asked her about it on how the women's team felt exhilarated that they could finally support the men's team and be on the ice. How was that, hearing those cheers up in the rafters?
I wish they could get a picture of my face, because I didn't know they were up in the block seating up there in the little suite, and I heard them, and I was like, wow. I had never been that juiced up for a game in my life. It was the loudest ovation I've ever had.
Yeah, because we could hear them. We were on the opposite side of the rink, and even with the scoreboard kind of blocking the sound waves, we could hear them all cheering and going crazy for you.
It was so awesome. It made me so happy.
Yeah, it was a great moment to see, especially because of not necessarily having their fans travel out to Athens. I mean, Georgia had a ton of people in that night game because it was a home game, certainly. But certainly one of those. Was that a career highlight for you, would say?
Absolutely. I've never gotten – no one has ever cheered for me that loud in my entire life. I was so juiced up.
Now, let's talk about the now, you went from that you went from that consolation game over to the coaching side. You decided – slipped from one uniform to the other in the suit to get on the ice for the
– I almost didn't make it.
You almost didn't? What was that?
I missed – yeah.
See, she was knocking on trying to make it.
I missed warm-ups, and right after the national anthem, I ran over to the bench and just got out on the ice.
That's one of the things. You have to rush in between and get between those games. But I know, especially for you, and we've talked with Coach Laxton and Coach Davis, and talked a little bit behind the scenes with Coach Tebby about this as well, and how seeing the progression of this team and how they've gotten to where they are now. Yeah. What has that been like from your perspective, not only as someone who has actively through the season been in that player side to see their on-ice success?
Yeah, it's incredible to see where we've came from. I think a lot of credit needs to go to Anya and how she's running these practices. She does a fantastic job. But looking forward to Nationals and seeing where we're going, I think our depth is really going to be crucial, because we got 4 lines that can go.
I know that there were a lot of tears of joy shed on the ice from a lot of the staff members and everything. What was going through your mind on that final section of play with the puck going along the boards?
I get more nervous when I'm standing on the bench coaching than the games that I'm actually playing in. And I wear a Whoop, which it's like a fitness tracker, and it tracks everything. And it thought I got a workout notification. I had like 170 beats per minute because it thought I was working out.
That stressful, huh? Yeah, I know Anya was talking about during the High Point series of how she was basically like nervous and rattling on the bench. Same amount of stress levels with High Point in that championship?
I looked at Claire and I was like, win the faceoff. Win the face. 9 seconds left. Win the draw, and then we'll tie it up. And what did Claire do? Best player in the league wins the faceoff. Game over.
Now, one thing I did notice, too, is that it seems a lot in the timeouts, and you credited Anya on this. She's the one vigorously drawing on the whiteboard and getting things strategized. How much do you feel you chime in during either those timeouts or when the players are on the ice?
It depends what kind of situation it is. At the end of that game, I wanted to know who was taking the faceoff, and when Claire was, it was on the right side, so I was like, okay, we want a righty to have it on their strong side, and Claire's like, no, like, I got this, and she went and delivered, so it worked out.
Claire just seems like any time she says, I've got this, she just follows through with it, because we always talk about how, like, Muhammad Ali had to cash the checks that he wrote from that. Claire just does that so well, and it's a big reason why. I'm sure that was also a proud moment for you to say, I played a small part in her MVP season.
Yeah, it's, you want your best player to want the puck, and she wants the puck, and she goes out there and delivers. I mean, what was it, the USF game where the buzzer beater goal went in?
Yes, I think
we were losing 2-1 in that game, and just that changed everything right there with momentum.
Yeah, you can notice as well, Savannah constantly smirking, smiling whenever we're mentioning her players, or essentially she says she feels like the mama of this team and everything.
Yeah,
and
I mean, Claire's not on this team if not for her.
She's heavily
recruited her.
Now, we've talked a little bit about the kind of build up to nationals, and I know Kira mentioned last week that it feels like they're trying to prevent any sort of like climax and to just keep going up. Mm-hmm. So from what you've seen, I know it's only been like one practice so far, maybe some workouts of the women's team, but what do you think has been most important in the practices side to reinforce with the team heading to Jacksonville?
It's just staying dialed in because we don't have games. So there's going to be a 2-week stretch here where you're not playing game speed. So you got to keep those practices intense. Our off-ice workouts are great. I know we picked up another practice on Monday before Nationals, which is going to be huge.
Yeah. Yeah, and I know Tampa is also headed back down to the Nationals. Yeah. I know you'll have to play them at least once in group play, so I'm sure the girls are excited to have another crack at the Spartans.
Yeah, there's a little rivalry going with them now. I mean, they made a huge run at Nationals last year, so we know they're at the top. So
It'll be a tough challenge for sure, and we'll be looking forward to seeing that throughout the rest of the season. But at least this weekend, Emma, we've got the Division III men's team that you've been covering throughout the season. They've got a play-in playoff game on Thursday evening against the University of Miami, which they did not face off against in the regular season. So this is one of those matchups. You could look at the records with Miami at 4-11-3 versus 9-7-2. Again, one of those, Nick mentioned, on paper, it seems like that one team shouldn't belong on the ice, but 0-0-0 is the record for all the teams in the postseason.
Yeah.
So in that regard, when you think about looking at number 4 seed in the North, number 5 seed in the South, what stands out most to you from this matchup?
Honestly, I just think it's crazy we didn't like get to play them. So it's like, it's just hard to like know their dynamic against our dynamic, whatever, their skills against our skills. Like, yes, you can find videos of them, film, whatever. And I don't know. It just stands out to me that, like you said, like so many Florida teams come and like, play against us. So
yeah, the entire South Division for, I think it's Division II or Division III, is all Florida teams.
So like, it's
almost like they did that on purpose.
I'm excited.
So they could just play each other in a little bubble.
Yeah.
I'm excited to see this matchup. Also, like Miami, I don't know. It's just like when I think of Miami, I'm like, ugh, so hot there. But then at the same time, I'm like, let's see how they play hockey, I guess.
Yeah, and Alabama as well, they have a little bit of a momentum swing as they won their last two games against Ossipee State on going out throughout the season. Whereas when you look at the Hurricanes and how they've gone down, they're on a 2-game losing streak, both of those to Florida. First game a little closer on a 4-1 loss, and then got blown out 8-0. So, you could also look at it. They've won 3 of their last 4 of the regular season. So it's one of those. And correct me if I'm wrong. I know the D1 team had something similar like that heading into the playoffs, if I'm not mistaken, right? Was it that? I'm trying to remember the remaining record you guys had.
Yeah, I mean, going into the playoffs hot is so huge. You even see it in the NHL. Yeah. The team that usually has the best the last 2 weeks going into the playoffs makes a run. Florida did it last year. You saw it in 16 and 17 with the Penguins. It's just how it works.
Yeah. And what's interesting to me as well, Alabama has not played Florida Atlantic this season, which you were talking about beforehand. They are just a dominant force on the ice throughout the season. But Miami has played them. They lost both games to the Owls in very convincing fashion. So regardless of whoever wins out this game, it'll make for, I would hope, it's an intriguing semifinal to the championship.
I agree. I mean, either way, like you said, Miami, we didn't get to play them, but Miami did lost. So it's like, I mean, either way, it will be, obviously they're a good team, so it will be a good game to watch either way, either side it goes. And so,
And I know especially you got to talk with several of the D3 players as well as Coach Lancaster on the On Location podcast. From the discussions they had about going into the playoffs and heading down the stretch of the season, how do you feel this team is mentally preparing for Coral Springs?
Well, I feel like they've been preparing almost all year. They've had like a lot of shifts, like in their team members, like they've had some upsets, whatever. So Lancaster does a great job at like kind of pulling them together and getting them mentally prepared. Like I went to some of their practices, and even their practices are like, he'll pull stuff they did at the game and make them like keep doing it until it's perfect, whatever. The team dynamic as a whole is they're all really close. Like when I was talking to them on the podcast, I could tell like they keep going back for a reason. They keep doing another season for a reason. So I feel like this season, their goal is to push as far as they can because they know they can do it. It's just the athletic, like who will do better, I
yeah.
guess.
Yeah, and I know that Coach Tebby was on the Division III men's team, not anymore, but you got to have conversations with him about that sort of lead-up. So from the conversations you've had and what you've seen from this D3 men's team, Nick, how do you feel this is not necessarily going to play out, but what are you expecting to see from the D3 men's team this weekend?
Yeah, he had nothing but good things to say about those guys. I know there's some super skilled players on that team. Mm-hmm. I played with Reese at All-Stars last year. He was on one of the teams. I think goaltending is going to be huge factor in these playoffs. Whoever gets the best goaltending, and I know Nova, I'm assuming Nova's starting in net, and he brings it.
Yeah, it seems most likely because, you know, we talked about that stuff with Tyler Terranova. Yeah. He's been incredible.
Yeah, he's great.
I mean, you look on the season, 91.1% save percentage,
yeah, that's
about massive. A 3.45 GAA. He's been incredible throughout the season. 521 minutes on the ice, too.
Yeah, so he's playing a lot. I mean, you can credit a lot of their success to him, I would say.
Yeah, you got goaltending is usually what it comes down to, and you especially know that with how great both Jackson and Coots were in net during the playoffs.
If you look at playoffs, I mean, we don't win those games without them.
Oh yeah, so it should be a lot of fun, and I get to drive 12 hours down to Coral Springs.
So fun.
When this podcast is published, I will probably be in the last final stretch of hours for getting down to Florida, but excited to cover a lot of those teams, and especially my alma mater, Middle Tennessee State. They just got picked for the first time. They're going to AAU Nationals as well on the D2
awesome.
Side, so that's kind of cool. But they'll be headed down for the playoffs and be able to see them on the D2 bracket as well. So we've had some time to steep on this a little bit, as I told you guys before we started. So as we know, we like to do an odd topic on each of these shows, and this is especially prevalent because we have a current athlete, a former dancing athlete, which I'm sure you know about some of these things, especially being around the locker room with the men's team. So in the hockey world, there are definitely some out there superstitions that players or coaches or people have. I've got a story from the 8-man football world that I could tell later on, but in terms of the hockey scene, and I'll start with you on this, Nick, what's the weirdest superstition you've seen from a player or coach?
I've seen some pretty weird ones that I like try to avoid. I'm like, what, like, did that just happen? Kids put their right skate on before their left skate. Okay. Those are pretty normal. And then I had a kid that I played with in high school that when he taped his stick, he wouldn't let the blade touch the ground. Like he can't touch the bottom until it touches the ice.
So what superstitions do you have before you go on the ice, if any?
New superstition this year is I go to Starbucks and get a cold brew.
Cold brew?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I walk into the rink with it.
Okay.
Just a little bit of swagger.
I think that's pretty normal. Yeah. That's pretty tame compared to the rest of the stuff,
I'm very normal out there.
Now when you're coaching Samantha Lance, in terms of her superstitions, are you the one shouting juice as well from the bench?
Yeah, 100%. I love it. I think it's awesome. Whatever works. Clearly it's working for her. She made one of the all-conference
teams. Oh, yeah.
So.
You do anything with taping the stick?
No, I'm always changing it up. Sometimes I go full white sock. Lately, I've been rocking a little bit of an Ovechkin tape job, and I have like 10 points in my last four games, so I'm just going to stick with that for now.
Oh, good. So from a media perspective, are there any weird ones or more out there?
I feel like I interviewed somebody. I can't remember who it was. It wasn't that weird, but he was like, I eat two Uncrustables before I go on the ice. That one's not that weird.
Yeah.
Another one was like, am I allowed to say this one?
We're not on the FCC airwaves. You're fine.
It was like on Friday night, I have to like take two shots. I was like, okay, I guess like whatever comes.
He just cleans out the system beforehand, which honestly, that may have been what we needed to do with the amount of germs that were running through us in Athens.
Alcohol.
But it's funny because in the last couple of months, like towards the end of the NFL season, there was this trend of Uncrustables. Like a whole bunch of like athletes and people were talking. Even ESPN did a segment of like there was one anchor who never had an Uncrustable, and they brought him onto SportsCenter and started eating them. Like,
I don't know, it's so weird. But I guess the person I interviewed started that. I cannot remember who it was. I'm trying to think. But yeah, two Uncrustables. I think it was the jelly ones because they have like the strawberry.
There's the strawberry and grape jelly of the other two.
Or the grape.
Yeah. I don't know. You ever have Uncrustables? Does anybody do that?
Huge Uncrustables.
Okay, good. Okay, so it is a normal trend. And I mean, it's just a good, like, either pregame or postgame snack, anyways.
Yeah.
So
it is. And it's like, peanut butter. Yeah. It's like, not that bad.
Full disclosure, we're not sponsored by Uncrustables. Although we wish that we were. Come and call us. But yeah, but I think I've still got several of them in my freezer too.
Really?
Like, I just have that sometimes on like days to, when I'm going more on the, I do intermittent fasting a little bit. So, but yeah, it's really fun to see those kind of trends and everything. I remember talking to Samantha Lance during media days back in September about her superstitions. But not only that, but she also blasts the soundtrack to Frozen like before, or like listen to it.
She said she
loves blasting Let It Go. That beforehand.
Whatever works. Yeah. Literally, whatever works.
Is there a pregame hype music, like specific songs you have to listen to going in?
Oh yeah, we have a playlist. I actually have a playlist on Apple Music called Juice. It's pretty good.
Was there ever particular hype music during your competitive dancing days?
Oh yeah, I used to listen to Beyonce before I did my solo, especially if it was a jazz solo. I had to listen to that girl Beyonce, but yeah.
So my superstition story doesn't come from the hockey scene. It comes from the high school 8-man football world. So getting into, this was 2018, one of the coaches we were covering, I asked him about pregame superstitions and everything. Most of the players, some of them said they went to Publix and got like their pre-made meals or like salads or whatever. One coach, fully raised like Tennessee, Southern boy, everything, he said he doesn't know why, but he cannot set foot on the field until he brushes his teeth. Like, he has just a very specific, like, cleanness to the brushing him. And, of course, I made the joke. It's so that when you're yelling at the officials, they don't get really upset that your breath smells bad. But at least in the hockey side, I've just loved hearing all the Samantha Lance stories of, like, the Frozen soundtrack, Orange Juice, never retaping her stick and everything. And you're right. It's absolutely worked for her because of getting all conference awards. So you just continue to do the things that put you in a chance for success. So did you notice a marked increase in performance or anything with cold brew?
No, not at all. But when I'm walking in the rink and I have like half a coffee in my hand, I just feel good.
So, that's good.
Get you going. Energy. Yeah. Cold brew's the best.
Oh, yeah. Get you that little bit of extra energy boost with the caffeine, too. I know sports media colleague Tracy Wolfson, she's talked about like right before she goes on air, she does a sip of Coca-Cola. Not even like a huge amount or anything, just a sip to give that like spritz of caffeine sugar rush or something. So
it's like when you're walking in a suit pregame, look good, feel good, play good.
I need to know who your tailor is. I need to know who Britt and Tebby's tailor is, because anytime you guys are walking into those suits, like I feel like I need to actually get a tailor to measure me and figure out the right stuff.
We'll make it happen.
Yeah. I like to think I go decent on the suit game, but when I'm next to these guys, I look like I just got mixed and matched everything from Goodwill. So it's you guys, if I've not already made it clear, you guys are really good on the fit checks. Well, thank you both for joining us on the podcast this week, especially with the sickness going all around with everybody. I'm still struggling trying to get through the final. I'm pretty sure I'm on the mend in terms of getting back to normalcy. I know Will Morrow really wanted to be here, but he just vocal cord shot, and then Hannah and Preston were off doing other things and everything. But good to get some insights into your world, Nick, and to see Emma again, even though we just worked together about a couple weeks ago on the remote show and everything. So I don't know if you heard this story, but 30 minutes before the remote show went live, Giovanni Gomez with Jalapenos, he was great, very hospitable. And he came by, he said, does anyone want margaritas? Does anyone want any drinks or whatever? She was one of the first ones to go.
I love a good margarita.
But I had to tell everybody, sip slowly. Yeah. We're about to go on the air for these things.
And then when we did the tequila shots or whatever at the end, I was like, no.
Yeah, Giovanni really spoiled us, especially because he had one of the, I forget what the cocktail name was, but it was with the jalapeno and did the blowtorch and everything on it.
That was crazy.
Very much showmanship on those sort of things. But appreciate you both taking the time to come on the podcast and everything. And good to know the superstitions aren't as weird, at least from your two's perspective, as some others might. We're not judging them. It's only a problem if they don't work. So That is going to wrap up this week's episode of the Alabama Frozen Hour. Should have another guest on for next week's episode. If not, we'll still have a lively discussion as we head into the AAU Nationals Tournament going into March. Rema Curl, Nick Reniger, our producer, Annie Sukalis, all the hardworking men and women that make this run so smoothly. I'm Spencer Thompson, saying so long from Reese Pfeiffer Hall. Another episode of the Alabama Frozen Hour is in the books.